Hello and welcome to the Zeitgeist podcast. Today is March 20th and I'm Christian Humes, and this episode is not coming to you from a secret recording in a deep undercover investigation, but I am here with John Paul Murphy and returning guest on the show, Tom Caswell.
Ooh,
hello, guys.
Ghost of podcast past.
Charmed.
It's good to be here.
I have to say, I'm really happy about this extended Zeitgeist family that we really have now. We've had Tom, recurring guest on the show, as well as previously Mia, Rossella, Jack
Khalifa?
Kelly have been on. It's great having such a nice, large community of people to come on, especially on a day like today, the week that Avengers comes out, and there's some real interesting political news. Tom, you're a great voice to have lended on the show.
The trailer for it. There hasn't been a secret release of Avengers Infinity War.
No.
The trailer.
I was going to make more of a clown car comparison as opposed to the Avengers, but, you know.
Clown car.
To each his own.
So, let's, top of the show, get into a couple of basic things before we get into news and events. What's new in your lives? What's going on? How is everything with the two of you? Why don't we start with our guest?
Doing good. Birthday was just this past Friday, 26.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Closer to 50 than I am zero. So that's
I remember. I thought that also closer now to 30.
Well, actually,
I guess that happens at 25. Yeah.
What happens at 15?
Well, no, I mean then 20 is what I meant. Like in your 20s, when you turn 25,
right,
you're closer
right.
to 30.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I'm closer to 30 than I am 20. Yeah. It's a good one. I just got back from. We were talking yesterday about my parents and I were talking about Black Panther. And my mom was like, oh, I really want to see that. And I was like, do you want to go see it while I'm here? So I actually just got back from my fifth and final screening.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. I only saw it once.
Final. You're like, no more. I will not watch
I'll watch it again. I'm just not going to go to a theater to see it again. I've never done more than five screenings of a movie. That has been my only a few movies have garnered that kind of
loyalty. What's the most you've ever seen a movie, John? And what would that movie be?
I was just going to bring this up, but back in 2012, I was really excited to see The Dark Knight Rises. Mm. And that weekend, it was my birthday weekend. It was great. It was the weekend my car got stolen.
Oh, man. I remember that.
I was traumatized from
that. That was so crazy.
So then I ended up maybe it was just some mental depression thing. But I ended up seeing The Dark Knight Rises over the next 3 months, probably nine times.
Were you just trying to convince yourself it's really good?
No, I don't know. Maybe.
It's not awful.
I don't know. It's just I felt like whenever I had a day off, I would just I'm going to go check out this 1 o'clock screening.
Do you think there's a resentment about that film that it will just ultimately be known for Bane voice?
It's got some good elements to
it. It does. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I think if there's anything iconic from that film, it's going to be Bane voice.
Oh, yes. Brother, fire rises. What a lovely,
what
lovely
will break
voice.
First, your brain or your body?
I liked how they did Bane. I thought it was an interesting way to go about doing it.
It was interesting. It's iconic now is my point.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what they... I don't know if they intended that to be... the thing that everyone remembered from the film.
I mean, what else are we going to remember? Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Robin? what else does we have?
I don't know.
It's like the epitome
Batman
of like a good
cafe,
trailer movie.
At Alfred.
Like that makes
oh, God.
for me, I'm just going to throw mine out there. Force Awakens. Seven times I saw it.
Wow. Seven for seven, huh? Wow.
Yeah, seven for seven. My last screening of it was in 4DX, which was so awesome.
Yeah.
Which if you haven't done, I believe, have you both done 4DX?
I actually did 4DX when it first came out for Pacific Rim.
Yeah, this was one of the new, I did, that was the first time I ever did it also. Maybe I'll go see it again for the new one.
For Uprising?
Yeah, that's this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Oh, I'm excited.
We'll see how that movie shakes down.
I'm excited for it.
Your excitement, Tom, is just...
Well, so here's the thing.
It's drooping out of
I you. Like the original Pacific Rim a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think, because around that same time, I think they're a little less than a year apart, but the marketing was happening for both that and Godzilla.
Yeah.
And initially, I was like, oh, Pacific Rim will be fine, and Godzilla's going to be fucking awesome, because it's made by the guy who made Monsters. And it's got fucking, you know, Bryan Cranston was from Breaking Bad, so everyone was wet for Bryan Cranston. And I actually do not enjoy the 2014 Godzilla, and I really like Pacific Rim. That being said, I just think that this movie seems to scream paint-by-numbers sequel.
It looks so different from the first one. It looks more like a high-energy Power Rangers, like, Sentai TV show. Yeah.
It's what Power Rangers should
have
been.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited about it. Not that Power Rangers movie was bad, but it could have been better. Yeah.
It could have been better. Yeah. Could have been a hell of a lot worse, though.
So, I mean, plus also, it has some things going, like, it doesn't have Guillermo, but it has some things going for it that are great, such as Charlie Hunnam's not in it, and it has
John Boyega.
Yeah, John Boyega, which is major upgrade if we're talking about the starring roles here in the film.
Yeah, I think a part of the reason I really liked the first one was because I was pleasantly surprised. So I'm going to go see it. I think I'll enjoy it, but I'm not, like, hyped for it, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And still have yet to see the Tomb Raider movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that one.
Hearing mixed things about that. Some mixed things.
John, do you have anything else interesting going on right now?
Well, I think for the last time we all got together and chatted, which was the Black Panther episode. I mentioned in that episode that I had not seen Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, right. Right. So and you have now.
I did watch it, you know, not that long ago. And I gotta say, I was a little bit underwhelmed by it. Like, I think both of you really liked it. I thought it had some great elements to it. Like the whole, like, garbage land, Goldblum land, all that stuff
they
was great.
They should have called it Goldblum land.
I just felt like
that'd have been great.
Yeah. I just feel like for a movie in which, like, all of Thor's family and entire home is, like, destroyed, it's a very, like, light movie as far as the jokes, and, like, it just keeps undercutting itself, like, when it tries to do the heavier emotional stuff by doing these kind of, like, you know, just kind of lighthearted little banter back and forth between characters. And I feel like maybe the director, I think, he would have been great for Thor the Dark World. I think that's the movie that needed a little bit of, like, brevity in a little bit. Like, a little bit of lightness, because the villain in that was so serious.
Yeah, the fight sequence, like, in that movie, if I remember, has a lot of that, though. The fight sequence is super comic booky in that film.
Yeah. And it's but then there's, like, jokes in it and other stuff, but it doesn't
Thor
come
the
off
Dark
very
World
well.
Has one of the worst enemies, and I know Tom just recently did an article on Marvel enemies, and I have to take umbrage with him, because I think Thor the Dark World has one of the worst enemies, other than Doctor Strange having one of the worst villains as well. actually Doctor Strange has the best villain in it, being Doctor Strange himself, but the actual villain of the movie is, I think, just as weak as Christopher Eccleston's bad guy in Thor the Dark World.
They're equal.
They're both completely just crap, like, forgettable characters.
Christian is really trying to goad me here because he knows how much I like Caecilius.
Yeah, it's,
I'm not going
that
to
movie
get
is,
argument about it.
I'm like, it's the one movie right now that we're, I mean, I have a while before rewatching that one, but I'm not really looking forward to it. I'm hoping I enjoy it more than I did when I saw it in theaters, but that villain just sucks.
I'm not going to get into it. People can go read how I feel about Caecilius on Sci-Fi Wire. I think on the surface, the villain sounds weak, but Mad's portrayal and his actual motivations are elevate him. But I will agree, Christopher Eccleston's Malekith in The Dark World is atrocious. And
it's
a
so bad.
Waste of his talent.
It's so bad.
And it wasn't it interesting that wasn't Mads Mikkelsen originally
Correct.
Supposed to play
Mads Mikkelsen
Malekith?
Was originally meant to do it, but his
commitment so
to
funny.
Hannibal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was originally
I remember that news.
Like, not even in the running, like, they had announced that he was going to be in it.
And then he dropped
a couple
out,
months later, he was like, the shooting schedule conflicts with Hannibal.
This is
so
something I'm completely unaware of. I just felt like those two characters reminded me of each other for so many reasons in their portrayals. So that's interesting knowing that fact. Okay, let's get into what's going on this last week and what's coming up ahead this week. Let's do it out of order. typically, like, the way I like to do these shows now is we'll talk, you know, towards the end about, like, hey, what do we have to look forward to? But there's so much that just happened, and I don't want to waste a lot of time on what's coming out. But there's, like, a bunch of cool video games coming out, and we did just talk about Pacific Rim. But Sea of Thieves is coming out tomorrow, and if you're in many parts of the world, it's available now. Well, actually, today, if you're listening to this on the 20th, I guess now, it's available. And I'll be streaming it today by the time you're listening it to this. I'll be doing quite a bit of streaming of Sea of Thieves tomorrow, so come sail the seven seas with me. I'll be doing a lot of that during the stream.
Can you explain what the game is? I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're a pirate.
Okay.
You get a ship. You can play with up to three other pirate friends, and it's a open world treasure hunting seafaring game. Like, you guys run your ship, you'll run into other ships, and you get into ship battles, and you try and steal their plunder and sink their ships. You have to, like, follow clues and maps and travel around the world to discover...
Can you auction off winches?
No, you can't auction off. No. No, no, it's a very... It's a very
just like Disney, they're just a race in history.
It's a very inclusive pirate world. It's very Peter Pan-style pirate. You can't put anyone in a boo box either, but you can put them in the brig.
Oh, I remember that part of that movie.
The boo box is one of the darkest things in, I think, all of Disney history, outside of, like, some of their newer... The boo box is messed up.
Trivia, do you know who plays the guy that gets put in the boo box?
I read about this recently. Who is it?
It is none other than the wonderful actress Glenn Close.
I don't know where that came up, but I read about that recently. I think one of the main pirate people died, and so that's why there was an article about the whole...
Bob Hoskins.
Who it was. Bob Hoskins passed away, and then there was an article about that. Oh, yeah. What a good movie. What a great movie. Yeah, all right, let's get into it. Where do you guys... We've got two big avenues here. We're ready on that comic book tip, so why don't we just start there? Avengers Infinity War, the trailer is out. I'm personally not going to watch any more Avengers media leading up to this film, because at this point they've given away
everything. I already told
myself
I wasn't going to watch this one, and I did. And now I'm like definitely not going to watch anymore.
All right, so we all have opinions on this. Tom, I know you have a lot because you're very dedicated to Marvel. So let's just take turns here going around. Let's start at a couple of things. What was your favorite takeaway from the trailer? Single takeaway. Let's actually start with John on this so you can think about it.
I don't really have necessarily like a single takeaway other than I'm approaching it pretty generally as far as like I enjoyed the last Russo Brothers film, Civil War. I feel like it's going to be a lot like that, which handled a lot of heavy stuff pretty well and a lot of characters that bounced off pretty well. I had some light moments, but it wasn't overly jokey. You know, there wasn't too crazy like that. So I think it's going to be... I think a pretty solid movie. I think the big question is how much I look forward to with Marvel eventually doing is like they never kill off any of their characters unless they're villains. And I'm sort of intrigued to see who goes and how they handle it. And because even in Civil War, it was like, oh, they're going to kill Brody. And then it's like, nope, he just like loses his legs for a moment.
Yeah.
So.
That was
which is so funny when you think about it, because you're like, if only they brought him to Wakanda.
it would have saved him. Thanks, you know, T'Challa. He was there, too.
That's a really good point. That's a dangerously good point.
maybe it'll happen in this movie, because he's in Wakanda. We know that, so maybe they fix him with this.
I mean, it seemed like Tony was fixing him up anyway.
Well, on the... fucking Entertainment Weekly put out photos and Don Cheadle's in the he's still got that brace from the end of Civil War.
Well, that's why he's got a exoskeleton. He doesn't have to worry about his legs then. They'll do all the moving for him.
it doesn't have to worry about it.
My biggest takeaway from this trailer is I'm not convinced that Thanos is a good villain. But I also believe it'll still be a good movie regardless. I think I don't understand why all these other characters, they were able to take them and make them look awesome, original, and authentic for the cinematic universe. And then with Thanos, they seem to have just ripped his design straight out of the comics and not... They don't seem to have altered it in a way. The Hulk, you know, is designed after... its lead actor, and it makes him look so much more grounded. Thanos just looks like they...
Josh Brolin, the actor he's modeled
kinda,
after.
It also looks like they dipped Stone Cold Steve Austin in, like, purple paint and just fucked up his chin. Like, he looks really lame. Also, all of his dialogue sounds so cheesy, and he seems like such a bad throwback to the worst Marvel villains, where he's just scary and powerful because he's scary and powerful, and I understand that he has some weird motivations or whatever, but what is this... Oh, I'm just going to destroy half the universe because I believe that's its balance. It feels very...
I'm going to let Tom take this one.
It just, it doesn't, it feels lame, and I think he looks lame, but I don't think it's going to hurt the film in a weird way. I'm still, like, optimistic that somehow it'll turn out well.
I think the movie is going to be great. I think that we should just trust the Russo brothers. They've given us two of the best Marvel movies before. I agree with you in the fact that I think that Thanos is, after having such a really good slew of relatable villains in Marvel because of who Thanos is and his motivations in the comics, I'm interested to see how they translate. I'm not going to base anything off the trailers because I think the dialogue that they've chosen from him to be in the trailers is very just kind of, this is trailer dialogue.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna just, it might not even appear in the movie, which is what a lot of these trailers do these days.
And the trailer does tease him meeting Gamora for the first time. That little green hand that grabs his finger.
Which, so she's not really his daughter then?
No, he just has adopted daughters from his time.
I was wondering why they all had, like, she's green, the other one's blue, he's purple.
Nebula's blue, right. Yeah, they're not, they're all just alien.
I see.
In the
comics,
he basically just...
He's like Frieza in Dragon Ball.
He's very much like the realm of like Superman villains, you know?
Yeah.
They're like these sort of beings from, you know, gods from celestial places that are like, we're on such a higher level.
He was modeled, he was created to counteract Darkseid.
Yeah.
From
yes,
DC,
I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Darkseid.
So which is
I think
why
they're
he
going
looks
to do
lame.
Their best. I think they're going to do their best to make him relatable and like show his past and why he's on the journey he is. And they've talked about the reason that he is very dressed down and not wearing his armor is because for him, obtaining the Infinity Stones is very like a spiritual kind of
so that I'm in
journey.
On because you know what that reminds me of and some of the armor looked like? It's very reminiscent of the Arbiter in the Halo series, and it feels very much like the Heretics. It feels like the Prophets in the Halo series. And so that looks cool to me. So I feel like maybe there's a thread where this all works. I still think he looks cheesy, though.
I mean, he's a big purple Hulk.
Yeah,
there's
purple
very
Hulk.
Little, I think, that you can do. Overall, I think my take is I'm still very jazzed for this movie. There's a lot of really cool shots.
Oh, yeah.
My one takeaway is I think Loki's biting the dust. And the more I think about it, I think he's going to die early on in the movie. I think they're going to kill him off the bat.
Interesting. I think that's possible.
The one shot that seems to be Thanos like holding Thor's head, and then there's the inverse where like his four Black Order dudes are like standing around Loki. I think like Thanos is like going to make him watch them murder Loki.
Oh, interesting. That's possible.
I think Loki makes the most sense.
I was thinking Loki's gonna
Thor Ragnarok.
I was thinking Thanos is using his Thor in that scene to get Loki to turn over the Tesseract.
Yeah, and then I think
he's just gonna follow up
the Tesseract in the Asgard vault?
He definitely stole it when he took that helm.
But then you see that he's got that sneaky.
Yeah,
he
stole it.
He's carrying Surtur's.
Yeah,
head
yeah.
to the eternal flame, yeah. and then he looks at the thing, and then it cuts.
Okay,
and we see in the first trailer, Loki has the Tesseract.
Yeah. Okay, so then is the assumption that like at the they're on that ship, I guess, trying to head to Earth, they get intercepted by what was it, like?
I
forgot the after credits in Thor Ragnarok, but that's it. Is Thanos' ship that they get?
Yeah, that's Thanos' ship. Yeah,
and then I assume that
so I think
the
movie
Guardians
will
save
open.
Him at that point, or after some die.
The Guardians, I think, are just going to find Thor. They're just going to come across him, right?
So, initial footage from Comic-Con or D23 last year just had, the Milano is flying, and then Thor, like, smashes into the Milano.
Yeah.
So I think like Thanos just completely like I think he murders all of the Asgardians. And I think Loki makes a lot of sense to kill off because A, he's beloved by the fans, but B, he is a villain, so there isn't going to be like a Loki movie. Like, it doesn't cost them a franchise.
Yeah.
And I think those two things make him like...
He also represents the end of like where this saga began.
Right. Since he's been since the fourth Marvel movie. And the other thing is especially, John, you can speak to this as well now that you've seen Ragnarok. Loki feels like he doesn't really have anywhere to go past this because Thor figures out the cycle. You know, he's like, we're always in this loop. I always trust you and you always betray me.
Yeah.
You know,
also there was a funny meme, not to go back to Ragnarok, but someone did a photo comparison of young Anthony Hopkins with Kate Blanchett and with Tom Hiddleston and how they all look similar and Thor is the odd one out. So it's like maybe Thor is the one that's not the like the biological
he's the
brother.
Ice giant.
But
So there's a couple of key points I wanna make here. First of all, if they've got the Tesseract, right? So they've got one of the Stones of Power, why can't they just use it and beat Thanos right at the get go?
So the stones will have a different usage. All the Tesseract can do is
like a portal, right?
It allows you to transport yourself through space. So it's incredibly powerful to, like, say, bring an army.
But
through,
then couldn't
like
they have just transported themselves through space to somewhere away from him?
Maybe Loki doesn't reveal it though in time.
Mm.
He tries to keep it hidden.
Oh, he makes a portal and sends Thor through it, and that's how Thor escapes.
That's true.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, I think also, you know, they in the original Avengers movie, they have Eric Selvig like make an apparatus that can harness the technology to open a portal.
But
so I think that it's not as simple as just having the cube.
Yeah, but I think also, to be fair, correct me if I'm wrong, we've learned from Guardians that that's also partially because most ordinary people would just be wiped out if they tried to harness the power of one of the stones.
Well, that's the power stone. So that literally is destructive power.
Yeah,
the purple.
I would just assume that that's somewhat similar to all of them, though. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure they're all dangerous to wield.
And then what's the red one? The Dark World one?
The ether. So the ether would be the reality stone, and that allows you to travel across dimensions. So the six stones are the mind stone, which is what is envisioned.
Yeah.
And that allows you to read minds. The time stone, which Doctor Strange has, that allows you to control time. The power stone, which is the Guardians one. The Nova Corps has that.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, it seems that in the film, only the power stone from the Nova Corps and the space stone, which is
we're
the
on his gauntlet. Yeah, I noticed that as well.
Movie.
Which is going to get to the next point I'm going to make when we're done with this one. Because that's the next question I have.
So the assumption is that maybe he, in this sort of cutaway time, he's basically attacked Nova Prime, taken the Power Stone.
Yeah.
The next one he gets is the Tesseract Stone, and then he's going to Earth to get Doctor Strange, Vision, and the Aether.
From what I remember, this film is primarily...
Well, the Aether is... The last time we saw the Aether, the Collector had it.
Okay.
And this film is primarily taking place, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's primarily taking place from the viewpoint of Thanos. He is the main character of this film, is what they have said previously, and that he is going to be like featured more than any other character in this show, in this movie.
I mean, I can see that being true, especially if we're getting like flashbacks.
And so that's
like
thinking we'll see like the Nova Corps attack and stuff. Like that might be how this movie opens.
Oh yeah, we definitely. Yeah, I think it could open with the Nova Corps. I would like to see Glenn Close's Nova
going back
Prime
to Glenn Close
one more time. John C. Reilly getting like wiped out would be great.
Like, oh hey Thanos.
okay
and then the only stone we don't know the location of is the
Which,
Soul Stone.
I mean, all signs are pointing to Wakanda, right?
Ragnarok.
Although we didn't actually see it in Wakanda, but maybe it just won't be in this movie either. Maybe it won't be until the next one.
Yeah, maybe it'll show
maybe up. It'll show up in Captain Marvel.
We'll see. It's very
so
possible.
Okay. Next question. It appears their plan is, hey, we know he's coming after these stones. Like, Gamora's explaining it to Tony, which I think is super cool. I really like that scene. I really like how, I mean, so I'm rewatching them all. And so to see, like, younger Tony Stark, like, days compared to what we're seeing in this movie, he's such a different character. And he's so much more mature. And to see him talking to her and taking this threat seriously, he's like, okay, so tell me everything. And he's like, all right, we know what he wants. We got a plan for that. It clearly shows they're going to go to Wakanda. Like, everyone's going to go to Wakanda because it's the safest place. They have the strongest army there. It's the most defensible position. So Doctor Strange is going to go there, and Vision's going there because those are the two they know they have. Why the hell are they going to take it out of Vision's head?
So the first trailer has a little bit of a tease for that with Vision, like, screaming on the ground, and Corvus Glaive, who is one of the Black Order, like, the tip of his spear is, like, attached to it, and it's like, ah, and he's screaming and stuff. Yeah, I mean, Vision could very well die.
I didn't think that's what was happening. Because in the new trailer, they show Vision in Wakanda. They show the little hologram, and so it looks like their plan is to remove it from his head. Like, it's like actually that, the Avengers plan is to use the doctors in Wakanda to remove it from his
head. In the new trailer that Doctor Strange is getting basically tortured by some sort of spiky thing.
Ebony Maw is the guy that goes
Is that the guy that Peter Dinklage is voicing?
No, Peter Dinklage, I don't think Peter Dinklage is voicing anyone because he was actually seen on set. Rumor has it that Peter Dinklage is going to be
Peter Dinklage,
an alien.
He's just going to be Peter Dinklage.
Thor. He's just going to be Peter Dinklage. He's going to reprise his role from Days of Future Past. And that's how we get the crossover. And that's how they bring X-Men. Peter Dinklage is rumored to be a dwarf of Norse lore that helps Thor rebuild.
Oh, to make the axe.
His new hammer. Yeah, he was the blacksmith that created Mjolnir.
Mew Mew?
And is going to help him make Stormbringer.
Mew Mew?
Mew Mew? I love that joke.
I just rewatched the first Thor. Boy, that's a great movie. I like it so much more than I remember liking it. It's Marvel Lord of the Rings. It's so different from where that series ends up, but it's like the scene. I wish we could have had an entire movie of Thor just like walking around like a mall. Like when he's like, when he gets coffee and he goes, that was great. Another. And he just slams the coffee cup on the ground. So good. He walks into.
Can you pick three, like, a more diverse trilogy of movies than the three Thor movies? Like,
they're very different movies. That's true. They're very. I mean, I don't know. Let's wait and see what the final Star Wars is. Because right now, episode 7 and 8 are very different movies.
Yeah. very different movies. Yeah, I think the. I think the that initial like Vision screaming lying on the ground, I think that's going to be an earlier scene in the movie, and like Scarlet Witch saves him, and then they get to Wakanda, and like they're like, we need to get this out of his head because it's going to kill him if they rip it out, and it's
but he's
really
so much stronger with
just
it.
Walking around like that,
he's like, isn't he arguably one of the strongest Avengers?
Yeah, he is. His power level is pretty high. The two strongest Avengers are Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch. Like in
interesting. Not
level.
Hulk? Because I thought Hulk's up there too then.
Well, like physical strength, yes. But Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange at their height of their powers can basically do what the Infinity Gauntlet does.
Which is another thing. So like Doctor Strange, I already don't like him. But if Thanos gets all the Infinity Stones, I put all the blame on him because he has the Time Stone. And he can redo things, and if he fails, it's his fault, as far as I'm concerned here.
But didn't we all learn from the brilliant masterpiece that is the first Doctor Strange, that fucking with the Time Stone has catastrophic
repercussions? Yeah, but not fucking with the Time Stone is going to have catastrophic repercussions in this situation. It's sort of like, well, this could be bad, or we let half the universe be wiped out. And also be ruled by an evil, like, God.
I'm going to go back even farther. I think watching Back to the Future, we learned that fucking around with the time is, you know.
No, in Back to the Future, they tell you just not to fuck back in time because it might be your mom.
Don't have sex with your mom.
That's basically the thing that Back to the Future teaches you.
Definitely.
Also, like, not to go on a Back to the Future tangent, but isn't it pretty obvious that, like, Marty McFly would be committed to a mental institution like very soon after the events of Back to the Future, because he's living in this alt reality now in which he doesn't know anything actually. Like, his parents are different, everything's different, and they're gonna be like, why is Marty acting so strange? Like, you know, it's like he's the one now that's an outsider, even though it seems cool that his parents are cool now and Biff's now like a slave to them.
Oh my god.
But, you know, it's just, yeah,
I don't have many other hot takes. I just have one final question. How the hell can Captain America possibly withstand a punch from Thanos, especially while he's wearing a power stone on his gauntlet? Although I'm assuming...
Because Thanos isn't really trying.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's not really active at that point. But Captain America, in no way, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, in no way should have the power to withstand Thanos' punches.
Technically, no. Captain America, if we're going by comic book lore, he isn't superhuman in the way that like Spider-Man is. He is superhuman in the sense of he is peak physicality. So he is as strong as any human could be, but no stronger.
But even then, like, he held the helicopter, yeah, and that was really strong, and that was fine. But this seems like something only like the Hulk and Thor should be able to do. Maybe Vision.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Thanos is not really punching him. It's kind of like when in World of Warcraft or whatever game, it's like a high, you know, a super high level person goes to a place where it's like a bunch of low level guys and just kind of like stands there and they like shoot at him or attack him and it's like doesn't do any damage and he's just like I'm just gonna toy with you for a second here. You know, he's basically doing that.
I mean, that's when you see that shot, there's that reverse shot of Thanos' face where he's like kind of surprised, but it also looks like he's not exerting that much energy. But I also think one thing that has been kind of great about Cap's character is his perseverance, and like, he can be on the level of a Spidey or something through just sheer determination. And
I think
that
very
shot
cool.
is really cool.
I was just like, wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wouldn't. If Thanos was applying all of his strength,
and I'm assuming that that stone is not active in that scene, because otherwise he would have just been obliterated.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think that
the gauntlet isn't active until it has all the stones?
Do you think that Trump is president in this universe while Thanos is attacking?
No, they have a president. His name is President Ellis.
Okay.
Who we see in Iron Man 3.
That's right. That's right. He does not seem like a great leader.
No.
No.
So this is making me feel like we should start a Infinity War Deadpool. Who do we think's dying? Like, if you could...
Oh, I thought you meant like what if Deadpool was in the movie?
If you could guess,
I was like, what?
If you could guess, you only get one guess. Who is your guess that is coming out of this film in a casket? I asked.
Oh, okay. I'll go first. So outside of Loki, who I've
which Avenger
said,
do
honestly,
you believe
I'm
will
like
die?
That's a dead cert. I think that someone that I think Vision makes a lot of sense. I think that it would enhance Wanda's character a lot, and could allow her to explore levels of her powers that would be able to counteract Thanos.
Don't we see him get turned back into a human in a scene, though? Like, he is human?
I think he's just learned how to... He talks about it in Civil War. He talks about how he doesn't really know how the Mind Stone works, and he's still learning how to utilize it. And I think it's just at this point where he can change the... Because he can change the density of his body. I assume he can...
Oh, I was assuming that's what he would look like after they remove the stone, but maybe that's what they're doing, and they're using it as a fake-out.
Well, he still has the stone in his head at that point, because in that shot, in that trailer, he has, like, you can see when it cuts on his head, he still, like, the stone is under his skin. Like,
oh,
like,
I didn't see that.
Here.
Oh,
and then she's, like,
okay.
Fucking with it and stuff. But maybe they create a pseudo stone, you know what I mean? Maybe Shuri's like, hey, you want to look like a real boy? Like, I can make you do that. But I think they're going to play heavily into his and Wanda's relationship, and then there's a good chance that...
Okay. All right. So then you're going to put your money on Vision. That's actually smart. John?
Mm-hmm. I would say I think my big money is going to be on Tony Stark. I think he's going to sacrifice himself in some capacity to delay something, stop something for the next movie. I think that'll be the big death, because he just seems like a character right now that's in a place, although now he has, I think, a little bit of a purpose. That purpose seems to be the Charles Darnier type of character, where it's like, a lot of people have sacrificed for me. I think it's about time I did it for, like, others type of thing. So that's kind of where my, as far as, like, one of the major characters, I think he's going to probably bite the bullet.
Okay.
And then as far as, like, small characters, you know, I think, I don't know. I think Rhodey, you know, he just kind of seems like he's...
Hopefully Hawkeye.
He always kind of... yeah, I think Hawkeye's going
to
come.
Well, Hawkeye seems to already be
one could
dead.
Only hope.
Because he's nowhere to be seen. These
no, he's on his
farm, you know?
Okay. And then I'm just going to throw in Cap.
Okay.
I just think Cap or Tony, one of them has to go in this movie for it to really matter. I really think if neither one of them dies, then this movie doesn't really have teeth. And I think that that's a possibility simply because we know that this isn't...
I think it's more likely Cap
I think
is
it's
going
more
to
likely
die is, than
yeah.
Tony.
Partially also because Tony Stark is a character that isn't necessary, but Iron Man is a character that's somewhat necessary for future Avengers. And you could bring Iron Man back and simply have him, like, you could get Robert Downey Jr. to come and do voice work and then come on set for, like, 2 days for, like, a handful of out-of-suit shots.
Yeah.
Like, they did that in Spider-Man.
But just, like, think about, like, yeah, but they're totally setting up this kind of, like, he's passing on the legacy to Peter Parker in a way.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
And it's implied that he's giving
that's
him his
true.
Suit,
but,
too. Basically, he built him an iron suit.
And so the thing I was about to say was, let's not forget, this isn't the end of this story. This is the beginning of the Infinity War story, because there's actually one more movie, because originally it was part one and part two.
Yeah.
And we know that that's going to be the real big movie, which is why we were saying maybe the Soul Stone won't even be in this. But although I think maybe they've said it will. I think they said, like, all the stones will be revealed. I could be wrong. But I believe that there's been some marketing talking about that. But it just, you know,
this is a two part. But they also said there was an interview recently where the Russos also expressed like it four. Obviously, three has repercussions that leads into four. But the reason we made this, we changed it from Infinity War Part 1 and 2 and made it two separately titled movies, is that this is a complete film. So that. There is a definite that I don't think it's going to be necessarily.
I don't think it will be either.
Like, it's not going to be a Halo 2, Halo 3 situation. It's going to be
or like
I just believe that this is not going to end with a total resolution.
Right.
Because if it did, then there wouldn't be a second part. Definitely. Like the way that this has to be resolved is Thanos has to be dead and the stones either need to be destroyed or locked away in such a capacity that they'll never come back up in the cinematic universe until, like, they're ready to bring him back for one final bang before they reboot the whole damn thing or end the whole thing. Because otherwise, it's just going to be this stupid MacGuffin that goes on forever. Like, they need to have...
Which
yeah, but they need to
the
have
comics.
Them have some meaning, which I think they're prepared to do. And so...
Yeah, 100%.
It's very possible Tony and Captain
survive. And they talk
survive.
About deaths... And Kevin Feige's talked about it. He's like, look, this is definitely on the table for people dying. But he says, be careful what you wish for, because this isn't going to be like the comics. Like, if we kill someone, it's going to stick.
Right.
so
when we kill somebody, they're dead.
So which is why, obviously, like, I think that Tony dying at the end of this one doesn't make a ton of sense. Cap more so does. But hey. Who knows? I think I think that I could be completely off base on a lot
that's
of
true.
Things about it.
That's true. All right. Well, speaking of things that will stick, blackmail sticks pretty strong.
I was hoping my earlier Trump comment would
was
going to stick.
Yeah. There was still just, you know, too much to talk about.
I know.
Well, just a really quick debrief on the two major events. McCabe and Rex Tillerson, ex-sec exec, is now Rex Tillerson. So he was kicked out as well. No more Secretary of State. Who is going to be the next Secretary of State?
Mike Pompeo.
No, we don't know. There's rumors.
No, I believe he announced
around,
them, but it hasn't
but nothing's
been
said yet.
No. Mike Pompeo has already become. He's basically like in the government. Basically, you can nominate another person, and as long as they've already been confirmed for another position. So he was CIA director. he was confirmed for 6 months. He can basically immediately start being Secretary of State, but then they need a new confirmation hearing within 6 months for it to continue after that. And the same thing goes through with the new CIA director, who was deputy CIA director, but she needs to be confirmed.
So, I mean, both of those stories are horrendous and horrific in their own right. Horrendic. They're both very kafifi, and there's a lot to happen there. And I think originally I thought we would probably spend a lot of time on this, but I don't know how we not talk about this stuff that just came out about what is the name of this company again?
Cambridge Analytica.
So if everyone remembers, late November 2016, it could have been early December, BuzzFeed stunned the world with their release of a dossier, which at the time people said was laughable with some of the insane remarks. Everyone was always a little worried that it seemed a little too plausible, but also there's certainly so many slanderous things and that it sounded crazy that it was like, oh, well, no other outlets were willing to put this out, only BuzzFeed did. So it's possible this is just not reliable. And since that time, just about everything other than a golden shower tape with the current sitting president and a couple of Ukrainian prostitutes has been somewhat confirmed through investigations that have leaked out. Like, obviously, none of those things have been expressly confirmed. None of them have been actually found guilty in a court of law. But it appears things are headed in that direction until, and this is the thing that, it's like we live in like a James Bond movie. Until this shady company in the UK, of all places, like, I don't know if maybe they're just really angry about the whole 1776 incident, but, you know, they're essentially taking credit unknowingly for blackmailing the president. And we know this because an undercover video was released where two guys from this firm were detailing how they spread propaganda, undermine political campaigns, and will also blackmail politicians through the use of prostitutes. And they detailed how very recently they had done this in a Western country using Eastern European women. And it was very successful. And if you watch this video, you can find it online. It is incredible because this basically confirms everything we're looking for. And by this time today, when you're hearing this, they should be preparing to go and raid those offices. Like, they applied for a warrant. It should have gone through. The international police are about to raid these headquarters. And these are the people that are responsible for undermining our social media, allegedly blackmailed the president and many other politicians. And there are Ukrainian prostitutes currently sitting in a Thailand prison who are claiming to have audio and video and information regarding these specific acts. We're in like a Michael Crichton, we're in like a Tom Clancy novel, and it's so incredibly unbelievable.
I feel like I'm listening to like a Christian Hume's version of Alex Jones.
I was gonna say we're in like one of Tom Clancy's throwaway novels.
It's so hard to believe that this is actually happening, right? Because isn't this almost like the thing you want to happen?
Thought,
like, you want to believe these people are horrendous, but you'd never thought these sort of things would actually be true.
No, wait, I have a question, because I didn't realize you were making that connection very soon, but like, I didn't put together that because they in this sort of secretly recorded meetings said that, like, oh, they blackmail certain politicians, that like they were talking
about Trump. They specifically said in the video, did you watch the video? They specifically said that they were talking about a Western politician and how they very recently were very successful, and they detailed that they used Eastern European prostitutes to blackmail. Like, it was exactly like the scenario that's been painted about Trump.
But what doesn't make any sense, though, is that Cambridge Analytica was also the company that Jared Kushner used to help
Trump. Because they're blackmailing
him
to use them for their – that's how they work. That's how they operate.
Okay. See, this is where I maybe interpret it a little bit differently, because I interpret it as, like, so what Channel 4 in the UK sets up is that they create a fake, basically, delegation from Sri Lanka, And they basically go to these guys and say, hey, we want us and like maybe our political allies, we want to win some elections in Sri Lanka. And they basically outline their thing. They're like, hey, all right, well, we can basically help you guys get elected and also damage the like anyone that would oppose you. And they imply that like the, you know, using things like prostitutes, forced, you know, situations, recorded videos, things that are damaging, they would use against the opponents of people that are paying them.
So here is a brief overview I have found that describes what they did and everything. So Cambridge Analytica is a political data analytics firm, a US spin-off of the British-based SCL Group. Both firms specialize in mining large amounts of consumer data for behavioral trends that companies and political organizations can use for targeted marketing. Last week, the New York Times and Britain's Observer, a sister paper to The Guardian, reported that Cambridge Analytica harvested 50 million people's Facebook data without authorization in 2014 and then went on to play influential roles in 2016's US election and Brexit referendum in the UK. Chris Wiley, the whistleblower who spoke with the newspapers, formed a partnership in 2015 with Alexander Kogan, a Cambridge University academic. Kogan developed a Facebook app for personality testing, dubbed This Is Your Digital Life, which some 270,000 people downloaded and used. But the app's licensing agreement required users to give over personal information not only from their own Facebook profiles, but from those of Facebook friends with low privacy settings. So apparently this was legal at the time. And then Cambridge Analytica collected from this and then took, because they had the 270,000 users, but then it was also linked to their friends. That's how they got this 50 million users.
And then they use that to basically, they share that with, let's say, the Trump campaign. And the Trump campaign then is like, okay, we're going to target Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, these kind of areas, Ohio. And we're going to like, and then separately, hey, we're maybe, you know, coordinating not or colluding with WikiLeaks and other Russian type of elements to dump anti-Hillary Clinton things. We're basically trying to find the right type of voters that maybe voted for Obama, didn't vote at all, you know, maybe disillusioned, they're going to vote for Trump this time. And it's like, I don't think it's all, I don't think Cambridge Analytica is like this, like, you know, Blofeld type organization that is like doing everything.
No, of course
it's
not.
It's just their one piece of the puzzle.
But they are, I mean, they're basically taking credit for the whole, like being the people that are also behind the whole prostitutes thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's a stretch. I think they, like, I think they probably have done it. I just don't know. I'm just not ready to believe yet. It's like, they're the ones that got Trump in the Russian, you know, hotel to pee on the bed. You know,
senior executives at Cambridge Analytica, the data company that credits itself with Donald Trump's presidential victory, have been secretly filmed saying they can entrap politicians in compromising situations with bribes and Ukrainian sex workers, which is literally what the dossier says about Trump.
Yeah.
And they're also taking credit for that.
I think that's like, it's not a connective bridge yet. I think there's a framework of a bridge between the them saying that and you know, what the dossier, what the Steele dossier says. And so you're basically saying those are the same thing. And I think it's very possible it will come out later. Yes. But I'm not ready to make that claim yet. I think they may be just two separate things. I think, you know.
So they just happen to do the same thing that supposedly is happening
I think
as well.
Forced
to
coercion
Trump.
With prostitution is a very common thing used throughout the world in different groups for political purposes. I don't necessarily mean it's like, I'm not ready to say it's all connected.
Well, it's a very interesting coincidence at this point in time.
And this you know, whole entire last year has been a lot of coincidences that are pointing towards a big fire. So
here's an interesting thing I found.
It's so very specific what they say about using Ukrainian prostitutes. Like, it's exactly what
it's been
stated
with Trump. But were they Ukrainian prostitutes in the Steele dossier? I thought they were just Russian prostitutes.
They were prostitutes in Russia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so they were Ukrainian prostitutes in Russia.
Well, you know, all the best ones are. So here's an interesting thing. This is from Vox, and this explains how Cambridge Analytica ties into Russia. So in early July, Shane Harris of the Wall Street Journal released a series of reports that offered some of the most compelling evidence yet that Trump's campaign colluded with Russian hackers. Harris interviewed a man named Peter Smith, a pro-Trump GOP operative, who sought to acquire 30,000 deleted emails from Hillary Clinton's private server. Of the several hacker groups Smith reached out to, at least two had connections to Russia. Smith told Harris, this reporter, that he was in regular contact with General Flynn, who at the time was one of Trump's closest confidants. By itself, Harris's reporting makes no connection to Cambridge Analytica, but in August, the Associated Press released a report that helped connect the dots. In an amended public financial filing, Flynn was forced to disclose a brief advisory role with a firm related to a controversial data analysis company that Trump hired. So the Cambridge Analytica has seemingly been using Russian bots in their data mining, and by putting out ads and like targeted ads that these Russian bots were running, and they would see, well, which one's resonating with people? How many clicks is this getting? And then they would advise Trump on what to do and how to shape his campaign based on this information.
Yeah. But then I think it feels a little weird then that they would be basically doing that while at the same time blackmailing that their guy, so that if he did win, they'd somehow have something on him. Like, I don't know. It seems like there'd be like that's too complicated of a scam.
Okay. No, but here's the other threat to this, John.
I don't think it's necessarily blackmailing Trump. I think it's like blackmailing others to turn a blind eye.
Blackmailing Trump because Cambridge Analytica. So here's some facts that we know about them. We know that they've worked on political jobs in Ukraine and in Russia. So they've worked on political jobs in Russia. Yeah. So we know that for a fact. Who in Russia has a vested interest in Donald Trump? So it's like, why would they use Ukrainian prostitutes to blackmail Donald Trump for Vladimir Putin? Which is what the dossier says. This is a company that has worked in Russia that we know has ties to Trump, that has done this exact thing. And they have self-admitted in a undercover tape that they do the exact style of prostitution that is listed in the dossier.
Is what, like, maybe I'm trying to find the Thanos of it all. But like, what's the plan?
That's
what's
the point
plan?
Is that all those things overlap.
But I'm saying like
it's like.
But I'm trying to figure out what the grand plan is. Then it's like if Robert Mercer and his daughter and Steve Bannon, they're all Americans. Like they.
But I don't think they're that part of it. I think it's like they probably get directed. So they're working with these organizations that work through Russia.
Yeah.
So Cambridge Analytica is helping them win the election. But who's also behind helping them win that election? Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has an interest that's working with Cambridge Analytica to get the blackmail on Donald Trump. Not to make Donald Trump lose, but instead to hold Donald Trump's ass to the fire, because also he owes them so much money, like he owes banks all over the world.
Yeah, but then why is Robert Mercer then bankrolling something that then he is also getting double crossed on? You know,
it's because, like, he's an idiot. Because all of these guys are goons and idiots. That's why. Because they're stupid and they're playing with people that are a lot smarter and more powerful than them. And that's why we're losing, because they're losing.
Okay.
Like that's ultimately like what this comes down to. It's like you wanted to make a reference to a clown car earlier. Here's your opportunity. Our country's being run by a bunch of fucking clowns.
Oh yeah, I mean that's
like a bunch
not
of really stupid clowns.
That's true.
Here's what I think it shakes down to with them. I think they are a data driven company. Everything they do, the money that these people make is based on data, and that's data that they're using to influence elections, but also data that they have on the people that they're electing. So essentially they can build a framework in which they are deciding who's elected, and they have dirt on everyone, and then can use that, and there's nothing anyone in power is going to do about it because they have everyone's data. And that is the most broadest sense of what is happening here. Okay, maybe it isn't directly, you know, that they're not directly influencing, have blackmailing Trump, Ukrainian prostitutes versus the P-tape, exactly the details of it all. But that is essentially what is happening with them, is that they are trying to build a framework in which they have everyone's data, including the people that are hiring them
right
to use the data of the general public to influence the elections.
So they are Spectre.
Or they like to think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
I think they fancy themselves as an Illuminati.
And then they were about to get beaten by Stormy Daniels' dick pics.
Guys.
She's going to release.
We do have
they're going to get taken down
Trump's
by a porn
penis.
Star.
Are we going to get that 60 minutes? Because we didn't get it this weekend. It got pushed back.
Pushed it a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's now next weekend. What the hell's going on?
They had some lawyer stuff that
probably legal.
She has a current crowdfund campaign going for legal fees. It's already over $250,000.
When did that even stop?
I believe last week when Trump threatened, like, when they're threatening to sue her, even though he's saying that he never met her and these things never happened. Yeah. So it's like, you don't get to do both. You don't get to say both. It's like one or the other.
When you're like, you know, suffering from dementia and you have no idea what you're doing, like, you can have it both ways.
I think that's about it for this week. I would suggest also, let's not just forget, I mean, even if or when Donald Trump finally is no longer president, if we're all so lucky, if that happens before an election, then we're going to be left with Mike Pence. And if you just watched this last week tonight, that is also a very terrifying prospect. And so it's just like out of one storm and into another.
Oh, shit, I should watch that.
Out of one storm into another terrifying evangelical storm. So, boy, that will be a full, fun, new, terrifying battle to go into with a competent psychopath.
Here's the thing is that it'll give us hope, is that if the key is November, if Democrats take back both the House and the Senate, even if Trump is gone,
he won't be able to do anything.
Be a weak, you know, president that's going to have no big political will or standing. You know, it's going to be chaos on the right side. They're, you know, he's not going to be able to do much.
Yeah, you think the Democrats have the balls to not confirm another Supreme Court justice if that has for multiple years?
They're going to basically say, you were not elected by the people. Your predecessor was taken down by an investigation.
I don't know if they have they have what it takes to do it for 2 years, because that's about how long it'll be.
Oh, it's trust me. I think.
Well, we've been doing this fucking Dalton Pony show for fucking almost 2 years. So,
yeah.
The important thing is look, for people listening, there's so much news coming out, and every day it's a fucking new scandal. The important thing is just make sure you vote. You just gotta fucking vote blue. And I understand that we may not have not all the best representatives, but we just need to fucking take down the GOP. Just, like, it just needs to happen, because
they're just evil.
Spineless fucks.
It's true.
who have sold out their party.
I make the gambling analogy where right now we're down a lot. We just need to get some money back. You know, it's like we don't have to get getting back in the positive again. Just let's just get a few winning hands and let's get the momentum going.
Well, let's do that.
But hey, the 18th district of Pennsylvania this past week, voted blue, which is incredible, and the redistricting is happening for the entire state.
Yeah, but then that person that'll not exist. So.
Yeah, but it's still, I think it's a good sign that even in a district as gerrymandered as that, and that was swung so heavily back towards the left.
That fucking Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
That bastard.
It's actually named after a guy called Jerry.
Yep.
Tom, how can we keep up with you?
Great Britom on every platform except. If people want a game,
just listen to Unranked.
PlayStation, Time Bomb Tom. Yeah, but follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram. I post photos of my cat from time to time, and he's adorable. So,
John,
you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Johnny B. Good in LA. Keep posted. Wishboning coming back shortly. Cool, and we'll go from there.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Tweet Humes. We are the Zeitheist podcast. And, you know, as Tom said, there's a lot coming out every day. Find a minute for yourself, take a moment, breathe, and then get back on Twitter and jump back into that hellstorm. We'll see you all next week.